You know, the Urantia book, George, has so many areas that it covers in detail that it's hard to put it in any particular category. I would personally call it a revelation about science, philosophy, history, and the life of Jesus. And, you know, before I go on, I want to just simply acknowledge you and the show for covering the Urantia book. For Urantia book readers, this is like a milestone and, in fact, cause for celebration that your show has the courage and the foresight to cover something which we think is of epical importance for the whole planet.
Well, you know, I want people to understand things, and you know, this is something that has been around for a long time, and I just think it's important that people get information that they normally would not. I honestly probably would never have known about it had I not been getting emails over the last several years about it. So I think it's necessary to do that. And by the way, nowhere in this book, because I'm sure because it is just something that is different, nowhere in this book have I seen anything that has to do with evil or anything like that. If anything, Myron, it is a book on humanity first and foremost, and I just wanted everybody to know that. This is not a slam at religion by any means.
Yes, you know, it's really it's a gift to humanity, and it's a gift to the planet. And yes, it's certainly not a slam on other religions. In fact, one of the chief purposes of the Urantia book is to find a way to harmonize all of the so-called evolutionary religions and to, in the future, bring our planet to a place of unity in our spirituality. Not that there would be specifically one world religion, but that there would be a unity of spirit feeling, you might say, that everyone on our planet has access to the presence of God and the Spirit of God, which is within and transcendent.
Now, you call this book, Myron, almost a book of revelation. Explain that for a moment.
Urantia book readers, by and large, think of this book as a revelation, an epical revelation to our planet from an organized core of celestial beings whose mandate was to update for us our own history, in particular the life of Jesus, but also to give us the background, the context, the really big picture on our universe, or as it puts it, the universe of universes.
I mean, because it gets into the cosmos, life after death. It talks about angels. It talks about Adam and Eve. I mean, it gets into a lot of things. Who wrote it?
That's a very interesting question that many writers and all of us who read the Urantia book have taken a stab at. And there's significant disagreement as to exactly what the history of the early revelation was, but what we do know is that there was a core of there was a group of human beings who, in Chicago, beginning about 1910, were contacted and had sort of informal discussions with celestial beings who, at a certain point, decided to announce to them that they wanted to present an ethical revelation to them and through them to the world.
Well, now, what kind of celestial beings are we talking about?
These are beings who come from a very high place, George. They come from the center of our galaxy, according to the Urantia book, and even from a higher place than that, which is called paradise.
All right. Are these more spiritual as opposed to thinking about extraterrestrials on another planet?
Yeah, they're very high spiritual beings who are, you might say, super angels.
Okay. These individuals that were approached in 1910, who were they? I mean, why them?
There was a particular very talented psychiatrist named William Sadler, Dr. William Sadler, who was brought into a situation in which there was a person who was being contacted, and it was a great mystery for the folks around this person, and they invited Dr. Sadler to come in to analyze what was occurring, and he became really the early facilitator of the revelatory process. And it's quite a story, because he wasn't sure what exactly was happening, and one of his almost hobbies was to debunk this kind of phenomenon.
In fact,
he wrote books debunking psychics and mediums in that period, which were very well known.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was a very good candidate to be brought into this. If there were an ethical revelatory process, you'd want to have someone who was a skeptic and a scientist and a highly trained thinker and intellectual, a man of his time. So he was the one who really organized this small group of people who came to be called the Contact Commission. The Contact Commission was a group of six or seven people who were the ones around the person who's called the Contact Personality. And the Contact Personality is not known who this man is.
Now, is that a human being?
It is a human, and he elected to go anonymous. We do not know the man's name, and to this day, those who know who he was have all died.
And I assume he's probably dead now, too.
And he died quite a long time ago.
Okay. 1910. How were they approached, Byron? Were they approached in some kind of physical manifestation, or did it come in via telepathy? How did it happen?
You might think of it like Edgar Casey, that there was somebody who was in a very deep rest, a sleeping subject, as they call it, quite like Edgar Casey, where the person was unable to be roused from sleep, and while he was in this deep state of rest, was able to bring through these voices of these extra terrestrial beings who were actually spiritual beings.
And they just kept, the small group of humans just kept writing whatever they believed they were told?
There was a stenographer who was taking down what was being stated through this man. But there were many other phenomena, George, that of which, again, there's disagreement as to exactly what happened, and a lot of it is just not recorded. But there was a revelatory process in which eventually, through this person, papers would come through, and there are a lot of papers. There's 196 papers.
This is a huge. Now, and when you say 196 papers, you're not saying 196 pages. This is a big book.
Over 2,000 pages.
Yep. Okay.
So this material is coming through this guy, and there's a small group who are around him. And in the beginning, it's sort of informal, and these people are being sort of tutored by these personalities that they can't see who are speaking through this person and writing through this person and presenting documents and ideas and teachings about the universe that were vastly beyond what anybody had heard before, and to this day vastly beyond any other literature that personally I've ever heard of.